Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
Familiar passage that finds itself in the fifth chapter of what the late Dr. Mack King Carter would refer to as the Johannine Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 5, is where we turn our spotlight, beginning at verse number 1, reading a longer passage this morning. But again, I think that there's so much that God can say to each of us. Beginning at verse 1, New Living Translation. After Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days, inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda. With five covered porches, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. We talked about a woman last week. Talk about a man this week. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath, so the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.' Who said such a thing as that?" They demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, told him, "Now you are well. So stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." The words of God for the people of God. Blessed be the name of God. We come back, as you go to your seats, those who are a few of us in the building, but we come back to verse number 8. Of course, the words end up being repeated, but here it is, verse 8. It says, Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Stand up, pick up your mat. Pick up your mat and walk. We talk in this service from the theme, "It's Time to Stand Up." I wrestled with "Stand Up and Be Counted." It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. We've been sitting down. Again, what our millennials would refer to under the terminology, Reverend Williams, woke. Stay woke. We want you to be aware. We want you to be cognizant. We want you to it says watch as well as pray. That sense of awareness. How important that is for us to be aware. Aware of your surroundings. Any person that gets in a dark place, you got to be aware of your surroundings. What's going on around me? And what's going on in my neighborhood? What's going on? Matter of fact, one of the things we'll do in the next service is that we'll peruse the paper, and we'll peruse the New York Times, and we'll see what is it that is going on surrounding us. What affects us? Election Day is coming very swiftly. Of course, the other day there was the sense of a debate on competing stations. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it. But I did tune in at the NBC for a moment. And when I tuned into NBC, I realized that Savannah Guthrie was not going easy. I said, this is pretty good. Had our occupant having to defend positions and all of that. It was not a softball. Then afterwards, they call the ratings. The ratings for NBC were abysmal. Of course, the occupant has always had difficulty with facts and fake news. And so now we cannot even believe viewership, according to him. I'm just lifting it up. But it is time for us to stand up. The other day, Sean P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, said he's going to start a new political party for black folk. Kind of interesting that he would raise that in this short window before the election. Somewhat confusing. Our own governor even cast his vote the other day and voted for a man who cannot serve again, Ronald Reagan. I'm just saying. I'm not giving any thought. These are just observations. But it is time to stand up. It's time to stand up, time to speak up. It's time for us to show up. We don't need to be silent. Our voices need to be heard. And you have to be a part of the process, because being a part of the process means you can be a part of the solution. You can't complain about what comes out if you do not participate. I heard the other day that Shaquille O'Neal has now decided, after a successful NBA career, that he's voting for the first time. Shaq, first time. Colin Kaepernick, who kneeled, and we salute his kneeling, but he was a non-participant in the 2016 election. It's time. Oh, we'll deal with that next service, DJ Willie Q. It's time to stand up. We've been sitting down. Time to stand up. Well, I've tried to at least give a backdrop of where we're going to go. Let me give you 3 points that we'll revisit. One, allow your faith to stretch beyond your circumstances. All of us have circumstances. But do those circumstances trap us where we are? Are those circumstances an opportunity? An opportunity, Deacon McCormick, Chairman Williams, an opportunity for us to utilize, get to, and matter of fact, put it this way, Reverend Austin, as I go to, I can grow through. Allow your faith to stretch beyond your circumstances. I'm a single mother, an abusive family, just come out of a divorce. I lost my job, been downsized, furloughed, home pressure. Allow your faith to stretch beyond your circumstances, your frustrations, Your frustrations with career advancement. You look around and you try, most of us, we look at our peers and see how they're doing. How do we match up? For some, that's a very depressing place and space. But I am going to look at the idea of allowing my faith to stretch beyond. Are you ready to stretch? Matter of fact, from an athletic standpoint, they say stretching is good, Reverend Williams. Stretch the muscles. It becomes helpful in this whole process. Clayton Kershaw, soon will be Hall of Fame pitcher of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodgers are trying to get into the World Series to meet the Tampa Bay Rays. Oh, I just dropped something on folk who might want to know, is this recorded or not? I need for you to know that Clayton Kershaw, they said that he goes through a stretching exercises in order to get ready to pitch. He's a star pitcher, and of course, pitching with a herky-jerky left-handed motion. But in order for him to get ready to do that, the first thing he does, stretch. I tried it as a youngster. I realized I was vertically challenged, and so therefore I wanted to spur growth. I would hang from different things, trying to stretch. Even took certain vitamins, hoping that it would ignite something within. I'm still taking those vitamins with hope. Matter of fact, I did not drink coffee because coffee stunts your growth. Stunts your growth, or some of y'all from the country, it makes you black. It's time for us to stretch. Second thing we're going to look at in this service is listen to the one who can make a difference in your life. Everyone can't make a difference in your life. We do know someone who can. He does. He's a difference maker. What is different about believers? Matter of fact, they looked at the disciples and they said, what is different about them? They are ordinary people, able to do extraordinary things. But what's the difference? They've been with Jesus. Listen, listen to the one who can make a difference in your life. I thought about going like the Dr. Henderson today. All I needed to do was put my sneakers on. But here it is. It's Frangelism Month now. Start your watch party. Friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, getting ready for Wednesday because Jacqueline Thompson from Oakland to be with us virtually, and you don't want to miss it. But listen to the one who can make a difference in your life. He's a difference maker. He can move. I felt a rap song coming up. He said, how do you move the crowd? I feel something bubbling, something moving. God can move us from where we are to where we need to go. That's my trust. That's my belief. That's my faith. I have faith. I'm walking into my blessing. I'm walking into my breakthrough. I'm walking into that which God wants to do in my life. And thirdly, do not allow sin to get you stuck. Sin wants to freeze you. Jesus wants to free you. Set the captives free to praise, free to worship, free to lift up holy hands, free to give God the glory, free. I'm free, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free, I'm free. Free, free, no matter what my past has looks like, my present, I'm free, I'm moving, I'm moving, I'm I'm able to sidestep where I am, move into where God potentially wants to take. It's time to stand up. The first thing that I mentioned, allow your faith to stretch beyond your circumstances. The circumstances are what they are because Jesus had returned to Jerusalem and it was a holy day. He gathered around the pool of Bethesda. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed. They were all there laying on the porches. But one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years was a long time to be sick. 38 hours is a long time. 38 years, long time. When Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. And the reason why Jesus knew it, because Jesus knows all things. He's there. He's in a place where the sick go. The sick go there. They go there to this place because water is refreshing. Water is therapeutic. We go to the aquatic center. We go there, and persons will go. And when you're rehabbing an injury, many times they'll put you in the water. They put you in the water. The reason why they do that is because it is easier on the bones, the muscle. Matter of fact, they say the best exercise is water exercise. Water aerobics, swimming, all those kind of things. One of our media director, he's triathlon ready. That means bike, running, and swimming. The therapeutic, the water. It's a refreshing dip in the water. Matter of fact, for some of us to get ready for worship today, we had to visit some water. We had to visit water. Water refreshed us. Water cleansed us. Water for brushing our teeth. Water for taking our showers. Water. And there's something coming out of that. The freshness, the pores are open. Don't run outside like that, but the pores are open. I am ready for my new possibilities. And here it is in this particular sex that you find one who is by the pool. Allow your faith to stretch beyond your circumstances. That fifth verse says, one of the men lying there had been sick 38 years. Sixth verse, when Jesus saw him, knew he had been ill a long time. He asked him, would you like to get well? Of course. That's why I'm here. If I did not want to get well, but the other thing is, he had been coming to that well and not being blessed, but yet keeps on coming. Delay does not mean denial. So he keeps pressing. The scriptures tell us to press toward what? The mark. High calling. Pressing, moving, pressing, moving, coming. I'm coming. I'm pressing. I'm moving. And in order for me to press, I'm dealing with the obstacles, the landmines, and other folk who are trying to beat me to the pool. Matter of fact, that's what he says. He said the other folk were beating me there. That seventh verse says, I can't. The sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. I had a person when I was in college. I went to a predominantly black institution, Norfolk State University. Behold, the green and gold. It was nothing like going to the CAF, as we referred to it. I stayed in New Men's dorm, and so we would go to the CAF. And of course, when you go to the CAF, there was always a line. going into the cafeteria, dinner time, because dinner was served during a snapshot of time. You couldn't go late. You couldn't eat like all time. You had to go at that designated time. Young freshman had come, and he did the unpardonable sin at Norfolk State. He cut the line. We didn't play that. Nobody cuts the line at Norfolk State. He was quickly corrected, probably changed his entire collegiate career. When an upperclassman went to him, pulled him out of the line, not in correct English, but he got the point. He said, "Don't you never, ever do that again." I had never heard it put like that. He said, "Don't you never, ever." He said, "You see this line? We don't cut the line here. You wait." In this instance, this sick man cannot get to the pool. Others are beating him there. Now, they're sick as well, obviously, but perhaps, Lester, they have not been sick as long. We don't know. We don't know anything about them. We don't know anything about their story. Only thing we do know, he said, Jesus asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can." His answer is an interesting answer. It's an interesting answer because he is saying that or answering from the perspective that he could heal himself. "I can. I'm not asking you what you can do." So I wish somebody would get with me right now. What I'm trying to paint for you is not what you can do, but what I can do for you. All right, all right, all right. Let me come and get you. Let me come and get you. I see in my mind's eye our trustee chairman emeritus, George A.C. Crocker. I see him sitting over there in my virtual mind. And trustee Crocker always has this statement he would make. He said, "Help us to help you." I've asked you the question, and my question is, would you like to get well? He only had one answer, and he doesn't give it. He says, "I can't. I didn't ask you that." Any legal person who's out there today, the attorney, or let's not go legal, let's go parent. Parent to child. You ask them a question, and you would hope that they would answer the question asked. He asked him the question, "Would you like to get well?" Simple. "I can." We got to work through this when we insert ourselves into areas that God did not invite you. He did not ask you what you can do. He asked you of your willingness and your openness to what he potentially could do. No limit to what God can do. All right? Secondly, listen to the one who can make a difference in your life. I can hear his voice. I hear him speaking. Sometimes you're going through the night and you'll get woken up and God is speaking to you. You'll have moments in your life and those pauses will come. And when those pauses come, God speaks to you. He speaks life. "The joy of the Lord is my strength. A peace that is beyond understanding. I can meet you right where you are, give you just what you need, just when you need it." Listen to the one. Listen. Listen to the one who can make a difference in your life. He's a difference maker. He wants to make a difference in your life. Every person who is a believer, follower of Jesus Christ, you can celebrate today the difference Jesus has made. Tia, we sing differently. We worship differently. We handle adversity differently because we said yes to Jesus. Not to say that you're not going to deal with challenges, difficult things. No, I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying to you, nothing is too hard for God. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. Someone who's struggling. Someone who's about to give up, give out, give in. I'm not giving up. I'm standing up. I'm not giving in. Because if God be for me, he's more than the world against me. Listen. You remember when you got saved, gave your life to the Lord. You didn't even know the blessings God had in store for you. When you think about the things you've had to come through and things you've had to deal with, prayers you've prayed, and how God has shown up in your life. Oh, yeah, it's time to. Stand up. You remember the old Wednesday night prayer meeting, and folk would stand up, give their testimony. They'd sing that song. They'd stand up, giving honor to God. Oh, you already know the lines.
And you would talk about what God had done in your life.
Sometimes you go to some of those devotional services. And they say, I know somebody's got a testimony. I know it. I know somebody can say God's been good to me. I know somebody got something to say. And somebody will stand up. Say, oh, yeah, you're talking to me. I used to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I used to listen to the old saints. And I would say to myself, I couldn't relate to all that because they've been around a long time. And we would chuckle. My friends and I, we would chuckle. We were listening to those testimonies. But I'm thanking God for living mountains, valleys, storms. Come on, somebody. Car accidents. All kind of loss of job, looking for a job. Underemployed. Because sometimes you're employed, but you're underemployed. You employed, but you can't pay your bills. Tough. Difficult. But when you look at how God is able to bring you through, and then you wonder why some folks shout. Why they run. I'm not worried about what you think about me. I'm looking at what the Lord is. This man had been sick for 38 years. You get healed from that. 38 years. It's going to change everything. Y'all can say whatever y'all want to say about me. If I've been sick that long. But here it is. You got to listen to the one. Listen to the one who's made it. Said, what does he say? Verse number 8, he tells him, stand up. What? I didn't even get to the water. I'm here to get to the water. I'm not in the water. Folk have beaten me to the water, and now Jesus said, I don't need the water. So, come on. You already see where I'm going. And the reason why I don't need the water is because I am the water. He said, stand up. And Bruh Man had enough boldness to listen.
He was lame, sick. And he said, stand up. Not only does he tell him to stand up, but then he says, pick up your mat and walk. Come on, come on, come on. I want you to stand up, pick up your mat, and we're going to walk.
See, the mat represented his home. When he stood up, in other words, what Jesus is now saying to him, in every aspect of your life, we're getting ready for relocation.
I could have told you to stand up and leave the mat, but I'm telling you to stand up, pick up the mat, because you're not going to return to where you were. And then the directive is, not only do I want you to stand up, because that was a miracle in itself, the fact that he stood up. Then he says, I want you to take your mat, now walk.
38 years of non-walking, and here it is, he's getting ready to walk. See, some things you got to walk away from. You got to walk away from the folk who've been cutting you. Now, same folk who've been cutting him had to watch him walk. Imagine what the person did, Brandon, who beat him to the water. And here it is, he don't even get to the water, but he's out on the porch having a conversation. And then you see him get up and walk.
Now, because you have not heard the discussion that he's had, nor do you even know who he's talking to. Stand up. Pick up your mat. Walk.
Then it says, instantly the man was healed. Okay. Instantly the man was healed, rolled up his sleeping mat, began walking.
Oh, Lester, you're standing up on the wrong day. Wrong time. Who is this who made a directive on the day of rest?
He said, I've been resting for 38 years. And if today is my day to stand up, I could care less what day of the week it is. I'm rolling up my mat and I'm rolling out. I'm rolling out. I almost felt Ike and Tina Turner coming stuck in here.
I'm rolling out. Rolling. Rolling.
I see Tina shaking her head now.
Rolling on the river. I'm rolling out. Instantly, the man was healed.
Rolled up his mat. He didn't need assistance to do it. He did it himself. He started moving out. And the Jewish leaders got mad. What else is new? You having a joy, folk getting mad for your breakthrough.
You can't do that. Law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat.
He replied, the man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk. That's all I know. I'm rolling. I'm moving. You, who said such a thing to you? I don't know who he was. All I know, he must be somebody.
That's all I know.
But there's another directive. Of course, he listened to the one who could make a difference. He had probably had a whole lot of people in his ear over the years, but in this moment, he listened to the one who's going to make a difference in his life. When you just think about how the Lord has made a difference in your life, how he's spoken truth to power, how he's spoken to your situation, how he's healed your body, how he has put your mind together. I'm listening to the one who can make a difference. Thank you, Jesus. Now, he's healed. But then the scripture says, and that takes me to my last point. Do not allow sin to get you stuck. I'm not going to allow that. Now, it's interesting when you look at this last point, is the fact that it says afterward, Jesus found him in the temple. Very important. Don't miss it. This is not casual. He gets healed. He goes to church. Great place to go. You've been blessed. And some folks get blessed. Where do they go? Not the church. Somewhere else. Come on, it's Frangelism Month. Go to the mall, party, bar, hang out with my friends. No! He goes to the temple. Now, he goes to the temple, but Jesus is able to see beyond the surface. Look at what he says. He says, now you're well. Fact. Munchie, you got that? Now you're well. So stop sinning. Don't miss this. What was he doing? Matter of fact, what sinning was he doing in laying on the mat? I can't make it up, Ann. He says, you're well now. Stop sinning. What had he been doing? On the mat. Was he cussing on the mat? A whole lot of stuff you could do on a mat. What was he doing on the mat? Matter of fact, we don't even need to know what it is. That was between him and Jesus. But get this. He got it. He got the point. He said, if you don't stop what you've been doing, something worse is going to happen to you. He was on the mat. I don't know what he was doing, but he must have been a rough character on the mat. You know, everybody who is disabled does not endear sympathy. He could have been a mean, ornery, angry, bitter person, but he met Jesus. He was one, they didn't mind cutting in front of him. They didn't consider him to be a nice guy. He tried to act nice around Jesus. And how many folk are like that? They come to church, try to act nice. They get their Bible, they get their all their religious language and lingo, but they ain't nice. Jesus said, I want you to stop sinning. And if you don't stop sinning, something worse is going to happen to you. I'm through. I'm done. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and the goodness of the Lord and how the Lord can show up in your life, how the Lord can speak truth to your life, you think you're running away from him, but you can't run away from God. I wish I had a witness this morning. And you don't mind celebrating that it's time to stand up. I said it's time to stand up. You in your bedroom, your bathroom, you can stand up and give God praise. And I'm going to praise him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same on this chilly Sunday morning. I don't mind
saying, I love the Lord. Lester, he heard my cry, pitied my every groan, fight my battles, intercept my pain, heal my body. Every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Here you go, Sister Craig. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Do you love him today? And if you love the Lord, you ought to praise. Come on, Hawk. Praise his name. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. I love him because he first loved me. Looked past my faults. Saw my needs. Fighting my battles. Yes, Lord. Do you love him today? I love him. I love him. Yes, I do. Because he's a great God. Great. Not just on Sunday, but great 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Great is thy faithfulness. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good. I know it's early in the morning, but I will praise his name. I'm not ashamed of him. No matter where you find yourself, don't mind giving God the praise. Do you love him? Do you love him? And if you love the Lord, you can praise his name. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yes. 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 It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. This time. I know. Somebody said, it don't take all that. But I thank God. You talk to that man who's been sick for 38 years, and if he started shouting, you tell him it doesn't take all that. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my story. So when I decide to stand up and give God the glory, don't you try to tell me to hold my peace. Because I know a doctor in a sick room. I know a lawyer in a courtroom. I know mother for the motherless. I know father for the fatherless. I love him. I love him. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's time to stand up. Yeah, it's time to stand up.
Come on, clap your hands.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park. I run these